I'm breathing again. It's a new day with new possibilities. Breathe again. Take a deep breath. You're alive. You're alive today. Yeah. His mercies are new each morning. So breathe again. Yeah. The breath of life.
All right, good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for joining me today here on rumble.com/LFA TV. This is our Monday through Friday 9 a.m. hour here on the network, where we like to build the foundation for the day. And that's not just with this show, but it's with Mike Crispy's show coming up next. It's with Live from America that comes up after that, leading on to Loud Majority, Matter of Fact, the special coverage that's getting ready to take place of Miles Guo trial at 3 p.m. for the next 6 weeks or so, going right into Pete Santilli, Sean Farish, Will Johnson, Drew Hernandez, Roger Stone, Trumpet Daily, and Man in America. All of those shows are able to be here today because of the foundation that we set here at 9 a.m., which is the Lord's hour. If there's anybody that's watching today that might be new to the channel or to this show, I'll give you a quick overview of what this show is. This is my personal journey with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some things you may agree with, some things you may not agree with. But we're on a journey here. And it is ultimately about the destination, but we're enjoying the journey. We're enjoying the ride together. And I'm very, very happy to be here with you guys. It is May 16th. Year of our Lord, 2024 already. You've got the beautiful setting behind me that only God could create. God's masterpiece, God's artwork, alive in our lives every single day. You walk outside, you listen to the birds chirp, you listen to things moving about. Everybody getting ready for the day. That's the Lord, folks. Now, today I titled the show, What Would Jesus Say? Overheard said, taking the long way home. Nothing wrong with that while listening to the show. Jeremy, and what a ride it is indeed, says MDUS. Good morning, Patty. Good morning, JV. JV says, the journey is so blessed. It is. Moose for Trump is in the building. Good morning. Fun Mom is here. Jay Gizme, Carla, how are you? Jay Gizme says, I'm late, but I rumbled and I shared. So see that? Better late than never. KC2022, good to see you. Praying over the Heralds, preparing for your big move. Thank you. We actually closed on our home in Iowa yesterday. Now, there is some contingencies there. We actually, in the next 15 minutes, a realtor is showing our house here in New Hampshire. And while I am sad to see this house go, I am excited for the next leg of our journey, which is truly and honestly guided by Christ. We would not be doing any of this if it wasn't for the advice of the Holy Spirit. So, closed on our home in Iowa, praise God. And showing our home for the third time here in New Hampshire. Things are moving pretty quickly. And you know what I'm more sad about than anything? I'm not sad about moving. I've been moving around since I was a kid. To me, this is like another chapter where we get to experience other things. Moves to me aren't permanent. They never were. I've lived in so many places growing up. But I got to tell you, the thing that makes me the most sad is not being able to be in the same room as producer Eli every day. I think that's the thing that makes me the most sad. Like, I'm thinking about, like, all the things that I do here outside of work, and to me, it's just like life is life, right? The world is the world. I'm focused on heavenly things now, something that's very different than what I have before, but I am sad about that. I mean, we'll be able to see each other digitally every day. We'll be working together as if we were like in the future by hologram, but it's still not quite the same. You know what I mean? Like, he'll see me every day all day. I'll see him every day all day. We'll be able to talk, but it'll be on like a big digital screen, like that portal that they put up in New York. So it'll be in real time. It just, you know, be a little different. But anyway, I'm excited. And the family's excited. My wife is very happy and excited. We'll be very happy and excited when we find out we can actually sell our house and not be absolutely broke, but let the Lord God will provide. You know what I mean? The Lord God will provide. God chick said, I knew you were going to say that, Jeremy. Well, you know, you get used to something like that, you know, and not taking one of your daughters with you. I'm actually not really as sad about that anymore. We've got a very good plan in place, and she's got a very good plan in place to go to a Christian college here that I'm going to help her go to, and I'm going to be coming back and helping her every now and then. So I'm actually not as sad about that anymore now that there's an actual plan for her that she's going to follow. I'm actually very excited for her. Jeremy, I hope he can reposition himself so that we can see the front of him. Well, there's actually studio reasons why it's hard to do that. Otherwise, we probably would have. But anyway, folks, today I titled the show, What Would Jesus Say? All right, let's go to the description of today's show. Episode number 348 already. What would Jesus say? Now, yesterday we had probably one of my favorite shows that I think we've ever done, The Devil's Doorways. I think I'll never forget that show. And while that might not have been one of the most hard-hitting, amazing rise-ups for some of you, it was for me. And I think it's more along the lines of a realization thing. You know what I mean? You come to a revelation or realization in life about some things, and it hits you differently. It was really special show. But today's show, I think, is perfect to be on the heels of that show. What would Jesus say? Episode number 348. We often ask ourselves what he would do. WWJD, what would Jesus do? But today we're going to get a little deeper into this discussion, because I feel a lot of us need this message today. And when I say today, I don't mean like today in these days. I mean, like, the Lord specifically wants me to talk about this message today. Today, May 16th, 2024. I pray that we can get a nice, strong, God-seeking audience full of hope and inspiration and encouragement today. And if you could do me the favor of making sure that you're signed in, making sure that you hit that like button, and sharing the gospel, not gossip, I'd appreciate it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're 20 minutes past the hour. Lord and Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be able to go from the message that we received from you yesterday to the message that we are receiving and reporting today. Lord, I also have a confession to make today, and I pray that you are strong with me, a strong presence to give me the courage and the heavenly stamina I need to do your will and navigate it in this world with so much going on around us. Comprehension and understanding your word and your will is something that we should all be working on, and I'm so grateful that we have this hour every day to do that with you, with Jesus, and with our Holy Spirit. We pray that you help us navigate, guide us through today's message. And we pray that this touches everybody's heart that is seeking you today. And we all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. V. Chirazi says, the show yesterday pierced my heart to open my mind. Boy, let me tell you, it's what it did to me too. Annette says, I woke up and my backsliding glass was open. Not worried. My dogs are better than a lock. Plus, you probably had that door spiritually sealed anyways. If a door is spiritually sealed, then nothing can physically even get through it. T. Mitchell, 8% interest for a mortgage is, it's horrible. The house that we're selling, we had it at a 4.75% interest. The house that we just got, a lot higher. So praying for those interest rates to go down. Amen. So, what would Jesus do in any situation is such a practical, spiritual, and amazing thing to be able to think about in every situation. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if you were to do a search online, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus do in this situation? Better yet, if there's anything you're struggling with, addiction, depression, loneliness, can't find friends, have friends that are too bad, that are not good friends, that are stabbing you in the back, bad work mate, a bad boss, dealing with disease, somebody wronged you in some way, finances, you name it. Whatever you can think of, if you need advice, is in the basic instructions before leaving Earth, the Bible. It doesn't matter what it is. That's what's great about the Bible. So because of that, we can always say to ourselves, what would Jesus do? Because Jesus in his lifetime, and especially in the, if you want to specifically focus on the 3 years of his ministry, Jesus confronted all walks of life, all colors, all creeds, all problems, all blessings, all everything. Everything that you're going through has a focus point somewhere in the Bible targeting just that and telling you how to deal with it. Proverbs is probably the number one spot to go. No matter what it is, you got an issue, go to Proverbs. And at the very least, go to the Bible. You will find the best advice you've ever gotten. Better than any shrink, psychologist, mediator or counselor, friend or foe could ever give you. Because whatever advice they're giving you, whether it be good or bad, I guarantee you they're getting that standard from the only standard that we have of good and evil, which is the Bible. So I focused on that today, and I was trying to think about what would Jesus not only do, but what would Jesus say? Remember when Jesus was giving the sermon on the Mount, he was saying, you have heard it said about lust, about cheating, about hatred. But I say, so when Jesus said, when you hear about the word hatred, but I say, whoever holds hate in their heart is guilty of murder. He's talking about adultery and cheating. He said, but I say that if you even allow the lustful thoughts in your mind, you've already committed adultery with that person in your heart. So that's kind of what I'm going to do today. I'm going to take the what would Jesus do question, and I'm going to take it a little bit further and say, what would Jesus say? And the reason for this show today comes on the heels of a confession that I need to make. So when I engage in something that I should not engage in, when I make a decision or a choice that I should not have made, when I say something that I shouldn't have said, when I do something that I know I should not have done, it hits me harder than ever before. Now, we talked about this last week, early last week, when we said the reason for that is because the more you get on your journey, the further you get on your journey with Jesus, the more aware you are of the sin you're committing. And the more aware you are of the sin you're committing, the more you can work to fight against that and not put yourself in those situations and rely on Christ and the Holy Spirit to help you get through it. Well, as you can imagine, with the issues that we just had to deal with for the last few months with our teenagers, and then deciding out of the blue, well, I wouldn't say out of the blue, but very quickly, to make a big, huge change in our lives and a big move, with split families, having to deal with that, buying a house, selling a house, adding to a business, building a new studio, all while trying to figure out the inner workings of it, it's been a little bit stressful in my home. It's been a tad bit stressful on my life. As a matter of fact, the most stress I've had to deal with since, well, maybe not the most, but darn sure close, the most stress I've had to deal with since becoming a Christian. And as you can imagine, there were probably a few times where I lost my mind in all of it. Because it's just crap. Red tape, government stuff, loans, paperwork, especially from two different states. It's just not fun. And you're dealing with all of this, the buying, the selling, the kids, the business, and trying to be dad, husband, and a God-fearing Christian, and kind of keep it all going, right? So nothing that any, you know, all of you guys have been through stuff like that. It's not like I'm saying, oh, I've been through more than you have. I'm just saying that that's what I'm going through at this time in my life. So long story short, here's my confession. 2 days ago, right before we closed, was one of the most stressful days of my recent history. And there was some stuff that was going on at home in the morning that kind of led to it. But then as I got to work and I'm coming up the driveway to the studio, it's 7 in the morning. The last thing that I want to do at 7 in the morning, especially after dealing with some stuff at home and stress, is speak to anyone who just randomly comes up to me while I'm trying to come in the studio and get ready. I just, you know, it's like, oh, now this, come on. I got, you know, not very nice, by the way, to be that way, because you should want to speak with everybody who wants to speak with you. So I drive up the driveway, and as I'm getting out of my truck, I see in my rearview mirror that there is a guy who's a landscaper, because I see his landscaping truck next door at the gas station, and he's beelining it up the driveway right to my truck. And I'm like, oh, what does this guy want? You know, because it's always something really, I mean, we have people stopping here all the time that think this is another business, or people think that they could just park in his parking lot because it's a free parking lot, because there's only a few cars here. And all of a sudden we see people like carpooling here, and it's just kind of like a hassle. So I'm getting out and I'm going, oh, what does this guy want? So he comes up the driveway and I get out and he goes, hi. He goes, I was wondering, can we use your driveway up here? We're doing some work next door, some landscaping work, and it would be a lot easier for us to work from up here on top of the hill where your driveway is rather than at the bottom of their hill where their business is. And the first thing that came to my mind is, I don't want people working in an official capacity with heavy equipment on this property that aren't working for this property, liability reasons, everybody sues everybody for everything. On top of that, they would have been, you know, having dump trucks of sod and mulch come up and dumping them and their little backhoe, and it just would have been loud. It probably would have affected the show, and I just didn't want to deal with it. So I told him no. And he said, excuse me? Like he expected me to say, definitely, if it's easier for you, please go ahead. And I said, no, I'd rather not. And he said, excuse me? And I said, no, I'd rather not. It just sounds like too much, and I got a lot going on right now. And he just said, okay. Turned around, walked away. And I kind of felt bad because I didn't accommodate him, because I'm the type of guy that I like to accommodate people, even if it means it adds stress to me, because I just feel like I can handle it. Not a big deal. But just that day, I was like, no, I'd rather not, because I'm already here and I don't want to lose it and be up here. You know what I mean? So then I watched as we, throughout the day, we're working. Eli and I kept looking outside at the job they were doing next door, and they were bringing in truckloads of mulch, beep, 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 and they're dumping it, and they're carrying it with shovels and wheelbarrows, and they ended up working until like 8 o'clock at night. So I said to Eli, I said, it's a good thing we didn't let that guy work up there. Eli says, why? I said, because they didn't get done until like 8 o'clock at night. They would have been working in the driveway all day. My mom's apartment is over there. Her dog would have been going crazy. I'm just like, nah, no, right? And I kind of felt good about the decision. I kind of felt not good. I felt like I was in the right, and there was nothing wrong with me saying no. But something was bothering me. Ask Eli. All day I kept saying, and even yesterday, I feel bad about not letting him do that. I feel so horrible about not accommodating this man. He came up and he asked me, instead of just doing it, which most people would do in 2024, he came up and he asked me, and I didn't accommodate. And it was killing me all day. It was eating me all day, because that's not me. And I was trying to justify it by going, well, look how late they worked. It would have been like an all-day thing. And then this morning, I find out something completely different. This morning, I find out that he didn't need to use the driveway all day, that he didn't need to work in on our property all day. And I wish he would have explained this to me a little bit better. But come to find out, because of the hill that he was working on next door, he wanted to use my driveway to get to the top of their next, the adjacent property, so he could dump it all on the top of their property so that he could have a lot easier of a time to work it all down, rather than dumping the mulch and the sod down on the lower part and bringing it all up shovel by shovel. Long story short, the reason why that poor man was working until after 8 o'clock at night was because I didn't let him use my driveway as a passage to dump that stuff. I didn't know that's all he needed. However, I shouldn't have needed to know that. Maybe the guy should have explained it better, but guess what I should have done? I should have said, how long do you need it and what do you need it for? They would have been done like 3 hours earlier, and they would not have had that hard of a time. And I didn't know that. But I didn't know that because I didn't give it the time of day. So if I'm going to talk about what would Jesus say, if somebody came and asked Jesus for help, he wouldn't turn them down. And I did. And I feel horrible. Again, I tried to even justify that by saying, I wish he would have explained it better. But again, I knew at that moment that I should have gotten more information. I should have said, I have no problem with it to a certain extent, but what do you need it for? How long do you need it for? Now, had I done that, he would have told me. And now I feel horrible. I've repented. I've asked for forgiveness. I wasn't thinking, you know? And I wasn't thinking because I was putting myself and my problems first, and I was making a mountain out of what should have been a molehill. So, what would Jesus say? Well, in that moment, Jesus would say, what can I do to help you, my friend, my son, my brother? What would Jesus say to me right now? You should have loved him. You should have shown compassion. You should have shown kindness. And you had the wisdom to get the information, and you chose not to. But I love you. Now you know better next time. and I forgive you. And you're right, Trishy. What did you say about guilt the other day? Give it away. And I did this morning. But now talking about it, it's starting to come back. I still feel a little horrible because I think about the guy was not a young guy. He was definitely, what, in his late 50s, Eli, early 60s? He's out there working his butt off, sweating. It was a hot day. I guess a lesson learned. So what would Jesus say? There you go. And now I want to talk a little bit more about what Jesus would say if he was here today. What would he say to people in any and every situation? Well, we don't have to wonder, guys. That's the good thing. You don't have to wonder what Jesus would say in any and every situation. We already have the proof of what he said. Because he was in every situation in the Bible. Let's get into it. I listed a bunch of people here. People and places, and places, groups that make up places. And I wanted to go through these and say, what would Jesus say to the following people? What would Jesus say to the church today? Well, what did Jesus say to the people who made the church back then? If Jesus were to come here today, and Jesus were to go to the church, I have a feeling that the same things that Paul was inspired to write to the churches and the people of Corinth, Galatia, to the Ephesians, I bet you that Jesus would say exactly the same things that Paul was saying in 2/3 of the New Testament. He would tell them to repent. He would come to them in kindness. He would come to them in love. But he would be stern. He would be like a father. He'd be candid, right? Jesus, the King of Candid. I mean, that should be a shirt. The King of Candid. Or the King of Candidness, Jesus. Because he said it like it was. Now, he didn't say it the way I say it sometimes. Because, like I said, he embodies kindness and compassion. But Jesus wasn't nice. Not the way you and I would define the word nice. Jesus didn't come to be nice. Sometimes, the truth or the things that need to be said in a candid way don't feel very nice, do they? So what would Jesus say to the church? He would be very candid with them. He would tell them that he's always going to be there for them. But he would say to the majority of the church, you are listening to false doctrine. You have false hope. And you need to repent today. Please represent me better than you are right now. What would Jesus say to a prostitute? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to wonder what Jesus would say to a prostitute. We know what Jesus said to a prostitute. We know what Jesus said to an adulterer. We know what Jesus said to women who embodied the Jezebel spirit. He first of all said to everybody judging them, let you who have never sinned cast the first stone. That's the first thing he said. So if Jesus were to confront a lady of the night or an OnlyFans star, the first thing that he would do is condemn those judging those people. Which would be somebody like me sometimes. That's the first thing he did. We know that because he did it. He then bent down in a loving manner. And instead of lording over her, pardon the pun, he brought himself to her level and loved her and was candid with her and said, go and sin no more. And if you just had what you know or what you were hearing at that moment and around that time, this is the Son of God, because that's what they would have been told. This man claims to be the Son of God. This man is God in the flesh. And he just saved your life. He literally just saved your life. And then bends down and looks at you with those piercing, holy eyes. Tells you he loves you. And then tells you to go and do what you were just about to die for. No more. I have a feeling that moment would be life-changing. Kind of like when Jesus saves you from eternal damnation. Life-changing. You don't forget it. And you darn sure don't go back to your old ways. So we know what he would say to a person who is out there with lustful intentions and immoral compass when it comes to sexual immoral thoughts, desires, and actions. Man or woman, he first judged the people who were being rude and nasty to that person. Think about that. Think about that. Think about this. Jesus comes down on a cloud. And you say, Jesus, that person and that person and that person. And look at this LGBTQ community. And look at this prostitute. Look at this drug addict. Look, and Jesus is going to come down and go, yeah, look at all of them. But look at you. That's what Jesus would say. He would say, yeah, look at all of them. But here's a mirror. And now I'm going to put that on you. I'm here to talk to you, not them. It's almost like when you're a child and you say, but mom, Peter got to do it. Sarah's mom lets her do that. What do your parents say? I'm not Peter's dad. I'm not Sarah's mom. I am your parent. And I don't care what they're doing. Their parents will deal with that. I'm dealing with you. Remember when you were a kid or your kids tried to get away with that stuff? That's why Jesus is going to come judge the church first. He's going to judge those who are hypocrites and who are blaming others and who are rude to others and who are mean and judgmental on others. And I'm guilty of that. What would Jesus say today to the greedy business owner? We don't have to wonder. We know. The rich young ruler. Jesus is teaching in his 3 years of his ministry. The rich young ruler runs up. Sir, sir, good sir. Good sir, good sir. Jesus says, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold up. Why do you call me good? Excuse me, said the rich guy. Why do you call me good? For there is none good but God. What do I have to do to obtain everlasting life? The greedy young businessman. Rich man, wealthy family. What do I have to do, Lord, to obtain eternal life? Well, we know what Jesus said to the greedy business owners and the greedy corporation owners of today, because he said it to the ones back then. He said, sell all your possessions and give everything away to the poor. Whoa. What do you mean? Sell all your possessions, give everything you own to the needy, to the people who really need it, and follow me. For it, and Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew he wasn't going to come. And Jesus said, for it is easier for the camel to pass through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get to heaven. Did Jesus say than it is for somebody with money to get to heaven? No. Because it's not the money part that makes you immoral or corrupt. It's the desire and the lust for that money, and you're putting that above God. Jesus said, put me in front of the money. That's how you get everlasting life, since you asked. That's pretty candid. You work your whole life, maybe, and you got all this money. Maybe it was passed down through your family. Jesus says, yeah, give it all away. Follow me. You asked. I'm telling you. You may not like the answer. So we already know what he would say to the corrupt, greedy business people. What would Jesus say to corrupt politicians? Take your pick. From state to state, from sea to shining sea, most of them in D.C., what would Jesus say to them today? Well, guess what? We don't have to wonder. We already know what Jesus would say to them today. Say the same thing he said to them back then. He would say, you offspring of vipers. Basically, you snake. Kind of the equivalent of us calling somebody a dirtbag or a scumbag today. He said, you offspring of vipers, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which are the corrupt politicians. He says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He called them liars. He called them thieves. He called them immoral. He called them godless. He called them hypocrites. He flipped tables and whipped people because of what they were doing in the name of God. These corrupt politicians and these lobbyists who were selling their wares in the temple of God. Again, we don't have to wonder to ask that question. What would Jesus say in this scenario, this situation, this event? We know because he did it. So when I call people, you know, liars and thieves and hypocrites and this, that, and the other, as long as I'm not doing it of a place of hatred and I'm doing it a place of candidness, but reassuring you that there is hope, and I'll help you if you need it, but right now you're acting like a viper or a hypocrite or a snake. There's nothing wrong with that, guys. Jesus did that too. But it's what's in here behind it. What's the motivator? And I'll be honest with you. There's been some hate coming from my heart when it comes to the LGBTQ agenda. Not the people, but the sin itself and the pushing of that on our kids. There's been a lot of hate. Jesus wouldn't have had the hate. That's the difference. But we know what he would say to Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, Mike Johnson. We know what he would say to these people. He would say, you den of vipers, you offspring of vipers, you snakes, you hypocrites, you thieves, you liars, you immoral people. Dirty on the inside. Unclean. What would he say to the unbeliever? Well, I'll tell you what he would say to the unbeliever. There's a link in there if you want to grab that. I'll tell you what he'd say to the unbeliever. He'd say the same thing that Ray Comfort says today. He'd say the same thing that I say today. He'd say the same thing that Cliff Netcher would say today. He would just say it from a better place. But if we're talking about what he would say, I offer you hope. I offer you the narrow path. I offer you salvation, joy, peace, kindness, compassion. I offer you the greatest thing in existence, a relationship with my Father, like you were supposed to have. All you have to do is follow me. Love me as I love you. Right now, I don't want to see you burn in hell. I love you. Ray says that. That's what he'd say to the unbeliever. What would he say to the believer? Well, he would reinforce our faith. He would convict us as well. He would show us where we still need to grow. That's what he would do. And last but not least, before we get to this testimony, from a band member of Korn, what would he say to the LGBTQ community? What would he say to those people who are after our kids today, who are engaging in that lifestyle? What would he say? He'd say this: I love you. Do we say that? He'd say this: I understand rejection. I do. I know what it feels to be an outcast. I know what it feels to be rejected by everybody. But he would also say, I was also tempted. Jesus was tempted every which way you could possibly think of. He does not shame you or reject you because of your temptations and your feelings, because he faced the same thing when he walked on this earth. He understands what you're going through. And if you need to read about his life, go read the Gospels. He would explain to them how not to give in to that temptation. He would explain to them that there's a better way, a better life than giving in to temptation. He would say, I want more for you. And last but not least, he would say, I will be here for you. He will say how wrong they are. He will be candid in what they're doing and the sin that they're engaging in. But at a 5,000-foot overview, he would say those things. Do we? That's what I'm convicted of this morning. That's why this message is here today. Because I needed this message. And I think you need this message right here. From the guitarist, from the band Korn, I want you to listen to his testimony, and then we'll end the show.
I started having these signs and wonders happen. Matthew, does it say Matthew there?
Yeah.
11:28?
Yeah.
Come to me, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I didn't know what it meant, but I know I needed rest for my soul, for my emotions, for my mind.
Yeah.
So I started seeing that scripture everywhere.
Huh.
People started giving me the scripture. I'd get a gift, a Bible written. I'd go to church and be up there. And the pastors and everybody was telling me that's God just telling you that's your verse. That's
yeah.
And so it tripped me out that God was real. And they were teaching me that God was real. And it was really cool. And I got like instantly addicted to that.
Huh.
It was like, I have an addictive personality, but this is a healthy addiction, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
People are like, you just traded that for religion. I actually traded it for the meaning of life and you know, what God is, the meaning of life. You know? I went home and I said, Lord, I don't know how you hear this because I see a wall.
Yeah.
But I'm just praying to you right now because that guy said, pour out your heart. And I said, you know, I want to quit these drugs. And I had like a rolled up bill when I was... And I was praying. I'm like, I can't quit. Help me quit. Send me help. I need help. I can't quit. My daughter deserves a father that is healthy and is a good dad. And this one dude named Doug that I used to do with, he was like, he got really dark. And he was on my machine, my voicemail machine, answer machine that we had back then. And he said, Brian, it's Doug. I haven't seen you forever. I heard you came to my church.
Huh.
God is real. God set me free. We need to connect. And it was just after I prayed. So I was like, whoa. And I asked for help. And this guy's calling me right away. And I connected with him. And I started going to church for like a month after I quit.
Yeah.
And then some prophetic guy like said, hey, I feel like God's wanting me to tell you to clean out your house. And I went home and I started cleaning out anything that is like evil. So it took me like 6 months.
Just joking.
No, but I went up on my closet because that's where I did the meth, you know. And I saw a first aid kit and I got it, and I just unzipped it, and a freaking 8-ball fell out. I was stashing 8-balls in first aid kits. That's how tweaked I was. And I should have thrown it away, but I went on one last binge. And I wasn't getting high the same way. I don't know what it was, if it was bad or if it was just God saying, hey, you're done.
The love of it was gone.
But yeah.
The love of it was
gone. I did that and went back to church, told everybody what happened, and then just kept going. And then I found a little bit more about a month later. And then I remembered, they said that Jesus fought the enemy with scripture. So I just looked at it and I was like, Lord, what do I do? I don't want to fall again. And then the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There it is right there.
4:13.
Came to me. And so I just started pacing in a circle. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I had an idea. Pour it in the toilet. So I went to the toilet and went, shh. And that was the last time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, somebody said, what's an 8-ball? An 8-ball is a measurement of cocaine. An 8-ball is an eighth of a gram of cocaine. And it's in a round rock form, usually. So they call it an 8-ball. Okay? This morning, I saw that video. I had no idea what the show was going to be about today. I prayed for God to guide me to a message today. I saw that video. When he said, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I almost fell to my knees and started, I did bawl, but I almost lost my balance. Like I felt like it kicked me in the stomach. Because that was God speaking to me. That's my verse. Go to my website. Go to my shirt designs. That's my verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because I can't do anything without him. Especially me. I'm the worst mess up person on earth. And God, and he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I started bawling. Because I needed to address what happened out there. And for whatever reason, that video right there and his testimony got me thinking about what happened outside. I don't know why, but if you wanted to know, yeah, eighth of an ounce. Yeah, what did I say? Eighth of a gram? Eighth of an ounce. Yeah, my bad. It's been a long time. Cocaine is a heck of a drug. For whatever reason, that testimony brought me to that conversation today. What would Jesus say? We know what he said to him. What would he say to all of us? And what would he say to everybody else? Good thing about it is, we don't have to wonder because we have it on paper. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for Live from America today. We've got Mike Crispy. He's back in studio. Unafraid comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. I pray today's message helped you. God bless each and every one of you. Continue to be a light and shining armor for God. God bless you guys, and I'll see you at 11 o'clock. Please share the gospel. See you later.
Fear is not my future. You are. Sickness not my story. You are. Heartbreak's not my home. some love.